الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون. إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إخبارا عن ربه تبارك وتعالى: وما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه، فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به، وبصره الذي يبصر به، ويده التي يبطش بها، ورجله التي يمشي بها، وإن سألني أعطيته، ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه. My dear respected elders, ulama, brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praises are due to Allah, that Allah Almighty has shown us one more Friday in our lives. Very often from the Jummah minbar, I always commence using this one hadith, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illustrates to us the value of life. Many times, brothers, we hear people saying that, Maulana, you know, now I want to go. So I stop people, I say, no, don't say that. That's not in our hand. Nobody decided when they're coming into this world, and nobody will decide when they're leaving this world. That is solely Allah's prerogative. But in the intermediary, my brothers, we have been charged with the responsibility. So time is of the essence, brothers. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the incident about two brothers. They both came, and one at the same time, they became Muslim. They came to Madinah Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established the bond of brotherhood between them. They were very, very close bosom friends. So one of them, he goes out in the path of Allah. He goes out with a mission to give his life. Now we know, my brothers, that this is not a light call. A person is going, he's showing Allah his chest, he's making salam to his family. It's possible that this might be the last meeting. Anyway, he goes in the path of Allah, sustaining wounds, he gives his life. His brother who succeeds him survives for one additional week. Exactly 1 week, 7 days. 7 days later, on his bed, in Madinah Munawwara, the second Sahabi passes away a natural death. So, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performs the janazah salah, and Sahaba ikiram, they are now proffering their opinions. That, you know, they were so close, but the one who went first, he gave his life. He took the wounds. He spilled his blood for the deen of Allah. So he is forged ahead. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam faces his sahaba and he says that, oh my sahaba, what about the iman of the latter sahabi of 1 week? What about his ta'at and obedience of 1 week? What about his salah of 1 week? What about his recitation of the Quran of 1 week? What about his remembrance of Allah of 1 week? What about the obedience to his parents of 1 week? And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them that, do you know the difference between the two? The difference between the two of them, despite the fact that the former Sahabi gave his life, he gave his life in the battlefield, is a distance greater than the distance between the heavens and the earth. So my brothers, 1 week, one additional week in the life of a believer is not a small thing. So my brothers, post the month of Ramadan, now comes the big question. Ramadan will come and go, Jumu'ahs will come and go. So the ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that, oh man, remember that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created you solely for one purpose. Now, the literal translation that we have not created the jinn or the ins but for our worship. Now brothers, any person, let's just assume a non-believer is walking past and he has to hear this statement. He'll realize that this is not an ordinary statement. Because Allah's statement could have been that I have created you for my worship. But there is hasar, there's confinement, there's exclusivity in the statement that I have created you only for my worship and nothing else. Now automatically, my brothers, this question always comes about, and if we have to look at this, Allah states, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. In the next verse, Allah says, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَن يُطْعِمُونَ. I'm not asking any of the creation for sustenance, nor am I asking that they feed me. And then Allah Ta'ala states, إِنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Those of Arabic will understand the amount of emphasis that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is making in the statement. Verily, Allah, He is the excessive provider. And Allah doesn't just stop at that. Dhul Quwwa. Allah is extremely mighty. And Allah is mateen. Allah is extremely firm in His promise to provide for man. So my dear brothers, we are here for a purpose. The purpose is to worship Allah. Now if you have to look, we have two contrasting efforts. One is Allah is asking us for something, obedience and worship to Him. And on the other hand, my brothers, comes the matter of acquisition of livelihood. Therefore Allah Ta'ala is reminding us, I'm not asking you for sustenance. Remember, it's me, I'm in charge. So, every one of us, my brothers, people have to work, people have jobs, people have occupations. Everything is on its place. It's important also, and it is also compulsory. When the niyat is correct, brothers, when the niyat is correct, a person is standing there in his business, office or whatever, wallahi, he is being rewarded by Allah. So today I want to focus, my brothers, on certain acts of worship in the life of a believer which the ulama call the bedrock. This is the foundation of our deen. And my brothers, each one of us, we need to see that at the end of each day, like how people take stock, you know, business people have a cash book and then they write there, okay, 20th of the 5th, these were the figures. Previous day, the day previous to that, last week, last month. You have to keep hisab. Otherwise, perhaps a person can be at loss at the end of everything. So my brothers, there are four actions. And I'm not going to focus on that which is compulsory. We've heard these discussions on numerous occasions. I want to use a hadith which is known as hadith al-Qudsi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates the words of Allah. So Allah mentions that, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. My slave will continue gaining closeness and proximity to me, hatta uhibba, until I love him. There's three parts to this, inshallah we'll translate it at the end. But the four actions which I want to focus on today, brothers, and at the end of each day, each one of us needs to be asking this question, that how much have I achieved, how much have I profited in this regard? So the first, my brothers, is nafil salah. And it's not my intention, I don't want to speak about fard salah, that's an independent discussion. But my brothers, just coming out of Ramadan, something that we need to be focusing on, that if I am weak in any regard, let not the Satan overpower us. Let's show Allah that we are stronger. And especially at the time of Fajr, it comes down, my brothers, to that determination that I'll never let it happen. I'll never let that salat go. It'll never happen that my eyes open up after the sun has come up. Can never happen, can never happen. So it's the determination in the heart, my brothers. And like how a person, if a person had, you know, a parcel of money in his pocket, and then a person loses it. We walk out after Jumu'ah, somebody says, you know, I lost 2,000 rand. People will help him. Why? Because people realize that's loss. We see loss. But my brothers, the sun came up, and the salah went, whether it is Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, whatever be it. It's loss. It's loss to our akhirah. We lost out. So my brothers, determination. Be firm, be strong. Seek the help of Allah. Allah will bestow it to us. So anyway, my brothers, salah, but the nafil part of it. Every day, my brothers, at the end of each day, I need to ask myself, that how much nafil salah have I read? The ulama explained that there are two concepts. One is azama. One is where a person recognizes Allah's grandeur. And because of that, a person worships Allah. There's no allowance for any less than that. Meaning that those things which are compulsory, a person has to do non-negotiable. But my brothers, they say that for the muhabba of Allah, we have to go beyond the call. By way of example, a person goes to take employment somewhere, sends his CV, they call him for an interview. So they tell him, okay, job description, you work 5 days a week, you start at this time, you end at this time. So that's defined, 8 to 5, 8 to 4:30, whatever be it. Now my brothers, on a Friday afternoon, there's an emergency, or truck needs to be offloaded, and now the boss now, he tells the employee that, you know what, we need to sort this out, the truck needs to leave back for Joburg. If the employee is there, my brothers, for the boss, and he says, okay, no problem, we'll work late into the night, we'll work tomorrow also. This won't go unrecorded. This will be acknowledged and obviously rewarded. Now, 2 months later, now the employee requires some leave. My mother's not well. Somebody is not well in Joburg. Now the boss remembers that, you know what, okay, he was there for us. No problem, take Friday off. And you know what, you're going all the way, take Monday also off. Go and visit your aunt and whoever. That person who goes beyond the call, my brothers, won't go unrecorded. It'll be acknowledged. Insofar as that which is compulsory, there's no allowance to go any less than that. But my brothers, we have the additional salah. We have tahajjud salah. We have ishraq salah. We have tahiyyatul masjid, awabin, and nafil salah with every salah. You know, it is recorded, my brothers, that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, in the Hijaz area, most of the people follow his madhab. Even in the Haramain. So, he used to read on a daily basis. Now, this is not an ordinary person. This is an imam of fiqh. That perhaps there isn't a single day or moment where his name is not being taken. So, despite all the occupation and the responsibilities, on a daily basis, he used to read 300 rakats of nafil salah. 300. So I always tell people, I tell my students, that do we think that the imam woke up one morning and he just started 300? Now my brothers, if I tell you that 20 is not difficult or 30 is not difficult, you might scratch your head for a moment. But my brothers, for that person who woke up at 4:30 in the morning and he offered 4 rakats. Or if a person, my brothers, he made it for Fajr, after Fajr at the time of Ishraq, 4. 4 at the time of mid-morning, 2 with Jumu'ah, 2 after, 2 or 4 before Asr, 2 or 4 after Maghrib, before after Isha, 20, 24, 30 easily. Remember, my brothers, that this is what is going to be compensation for any shortfalls in that which was due insofar as the compulsory. So if in our fard salah there was a shortfall, Allah will look that was there anything additional. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, oh, you had plenty reserves, no problem. But the thing, my brothers, it's not just about that. One is that as the slaves of Allah, with the azama of Allah in our heart, we have to do it. Our hearts brimming with reverence, acknowledging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness and superiority. And the other, my brothers, is because of muhabba. Because we love Allah. Because we love Allah. And as a, you know, as part of fulfilling our duty to Him, we do it. So my brothers, number one is salah. Number two, my brothers, is recitation of the Quran. The Quran, the word of Allah, the kalam of Allah, najat and salvation for the entire mankind till Qiyamah. We have it. There is it on the shelf. I tell people that take a page, draw two columns. Date commenced, date terminated. In the month of Ramadan, we recite Allah Ta'ala's kalam. My brothers, we are in Shawwal. We already now 2/3 through the month. How much Quran have I recited? Allah has kept, if we're saying that it is the book of Allah, the word of Allah, it is divine light, it is illumination, Allah has kept it in every single line, every single word, every single letter. I want to use just one incident. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu. Who doesn't know Umar? He came out number 2 in the Ummat. And that too, he continued striving. He wanted to outstrip Abu Bakr Siddiq, but he couldn't. Nonetheless, he came out number 2 in the Ummat. Now, my brothers, what led to the hidayat of Umar? Umar radiallahu an is going, my brothers, sword in hand. With what intention? To go and assassinate the Nabi of Allah. Imagine, my brothers, if we know somebody has got that kind of intention. There'll be an uproar in the Muslim Ummat. So what an intention. And where's he off to? To go and harm the Nabi of Allah. On the way he meets Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Where you off to? We want to put an end to the scourge. We've had more than enough. He has come over here, he has divided our ranks. He reviles our gods. He insults our forefathers. We've had enough. I want to put an end to this. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas tells him that, you know what? Where are you going? Put your own house in order. Go and see the condition of your own sister, your own brother-in-law. He goes there to the door. He hears some murmuring. It is Allah's kalam. My brothers, listen carefully. These are the same verses which shredded the heart of Umar. And wallah, if we recite it, Allah must illuminate our hearts. You know, I always tell people that sometimes people say that, you know what, this is happening in the Ummat. This is happening in the community. If people are not reciting Allah's kalam, Allah's divine light, divine guidance, a person's heart is not infused with that, then what do we expect? Then the promptings will be from where? They'll be satanic. So these are the verses. He hears it, and his heart can't make tahammul, can't contain it anymore. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha tanzilan mimman khalaqal ardh was samawati al ula الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. The very same verses, my brothers. There we have it in our homes, on the shelf in the masjid. So number two. And number three, my brothers, the remembrance of Almighty Allah. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The remembrance of Allah is the absolute greatest. Qiyamah will not take place if there is one mortal, one human being saying, Allah, Allah. Allah has made it so easy. Remember Allah in every condition, wherever you may be, walking, reclining. I'm going to use one hadith which is recorded by Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the gift of the wind. So he could move around. He could travel the distance of 1 month in the part of a day. So on one occasion he's moving with his entire entourage. And the birds, the jinn, various creation are all moving with him. Below him there is a farmer. The farmer looks up and he says, Subhanallah. Just one time, Subhanallah. Sulaiman alayhi salam instructs that halt the entire movement. Stop everyone. Descends and he goes down to that farmer. What did you say? So he was naturally, you know, he was awed. So he was scared to say anything. So no, I heard something and I just want to know what you said. So he said, I just said, Subhanallah, I praised Allah. Glory be to Allah. Sulaiman alayhi salam tells him, Tasbihuk, your one tasbih, khayrun min hukumati Sulaiman kulliha, is better than the entire sovereignty of Sulaiman. One tasbih. My dear respected elders and friends, so these three things, nafal salah, recitation of Quran, and remembrance of Almighty Allah. So Ramadan will come and go, but on a daily basis, at the end of today, the ulama tell us, make muhasabah. Take stock, check the turnover for the day. How much nafal have I read? How much have I recited Allah's kalam? How much have I remembered Allah? So we'll end off with this hadith Qudsi, that وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ, that my slaves will constantly gain that proximity and closeness to me, حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, until I love him. Allahu Akbar. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُ, second part of the hadith, when I love him, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, I become his ears with which he hears. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ, I am his eyes with which he sees. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا, I am his hands with which he clasps. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا, I am his feet with which he walks. It's obvious this is not literal, it's figurative. But Allah is yours. And the third part of the hadith, وَإِن سَأَلَنِي أَعْطَيْتُ, ask whatever you want. Make dua, seek protection from any condition. Ask whatever you want. Beg, beseech, petition Allah. Allah will answer your dua. And wala in ista'adhani, seek protection, refuge from any condition. Allah will grant you that protection. So my brothers, Ramadan has come and gone. Allah's guest has come and gone. That is, my brothers, to give us impetus, to give us more, to give us, you know, more strength out of the month of Ramadan. So we still need, don't forget, we still need to be making dua that Allah accepts it. Because my brothers, it shouldn't happen that we come before Allah on the day of Qiyamah and then we sing empty. So that dua needs to be continuing. And the second thing, my brothers, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the noor and the light of whatever we achieve and grant us constancy upon that. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.